Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Up, up, on gay presents Conversations with a Legend.
Around here, we hustle for a living. Around here, we grind for a living. Around here, we hustle for a living. Around here, we grind for a living.
Welcome to another edition of Conversations with a Legend, presented by Up On Game. This one is a special one for me. This one I'm truly excited for. I might sound like I'm in my radio voice, but that's only because I'm trying to sound like, well, Lion-O when he summoned the rest of the Thundercats. I have the man, the myth, the legend, John Randall, who made it famous in the National Football League. Thunder! Thunder!
Thunder!
Thundercats!
Oh! All right,
man. It's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Always an honor to talk to you, and so much wisdom. I can't wait for people to hear what it is that your knowledge level is, because, man, you're one of the most brilliant dudes I've ever been around. So without further ado, 7-time Pro Bowler. Oh, man, let's see. 6-time first team All Pro. You were an NFL sacks leader at one point in your career, Hall of Famer, 50 greatest Vikings. I mean, I can't even memorize all this. You part of the 100 sacks club. Your resume is impeccable. It's a long laundry list of accomplishments. John Randall, who is from, all right, now, everybody has been from some Carolina that I've interviewed. I hit Wheeler up and Thomas Davis Sr. up. Now, we just did Pace last week, finally a different state, Ohio. And now we go to a different state, the state of Texas, with you. That's the origin. Just tell me a little bit about where you're from, OG, and just give me an idea of roughly what the area was like, what you came up in. I know it is very well documented, obviously, but for those out there who may need to be refreshed on John Randall, the great, the defensive tackle that played so many years, did it for the Seahawks, did it for the Vikings, did it for so many teams. What was your beginning? What was your beginning like?
Well, first of all, thank you. It is indeed an honor to be in your presence.
Come on, man.
Yes, come on. But let me tell you, okay, where I grew up in the state of Texas. It was pretty much called Central Texas. I grew up in a small town. It was 150 people. It was basically an old plantation.
150 little town. People.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah. My mom, wow. She chopped cotton. She picked cotton. My aunts picked it and chopped it. I grew up chopping cotton during the junior high. You pay $2 an hour to do this. But basically, you started by 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock in the afternoon, Monday through Fridays. We had a general store, and then we had a black-owned juke joint
that,
where we were kids were kind of, you know, juke joint.
Oh, yeah. Y'all had to sneak under the boards, look under the boards and all that.
Oh, yeah.
In the crack so windows.
And it actually had two windows in the front, pool table, a little jukebox, and kids weren't allowed to go there.
Right.
So, but the general store was kind of like near it, so we could go over to the general store and listen to the music on Friday night, Saturday night, and you know they would start drinking and people were having fun. So that's kind of where I grew up. It was very rural. People didn't have much money, but there was lots of fun, and you knew each other, and it was a good mixture of people that in the area. And the school was right. My junior high was right behind my house, but the junior high only went through kindergarten to the eighth grade. Then after that, you have to take a bus 8 miles away, then get off that bus and get on another bus to go to high school.
Wow.
So
you was commuting.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So it was, I thought it was normal. I thought that was the way of the world, even down to the part where we didn't have indoor running water. We didn't have an indoor bathroom.
Wow.
Our house was small. It was myself, my two older brothers, and my mother. And we didn't have much, but, you know, to me, I thought it was kind of the normal way. But going to high school is where I started seeing the different things where, you know, people weren't going outside to go to the bathroom. I mean, our junior high had it, but I just thought that's the way the schools were. But most homes, where I thought was set up the way, was the way that everybody else lived.
Yeah. All right. So with all of that, you're taking care of family business with mom, and I'm sure the brothers as well. Everybody's out there doing their duties. How did that lead to football? And 150 people in your town, how did football become an idea, thought? Was it a dream? Was it a necessity? What was it to John Randall?
For me personally, my brother played high school football, but for me, I was kind of not big, but I was kind of a different kid. My hands were bigger. When I was in junior high, I think my foot was about a size 11.
Wow.
By the time I was in the eighth grade, mm-hmm. So. The kids kind of, not say picked on me, but joked about it because they would call me Bigfoot.
Big, right.
I had the big hands.
Right.
And so playing football was kind of an outlet way of going for me because my brother played. And so I wanted to try it. So I had a lot of energy. I remember sitting in class, man, I felt like one of those Marvel characters where I just like, man, I can't wait to go outside. I can't wait to be out there on the grass. Can we play soccer and ran? I'm like, can't wait to go outside.
Right.
Can't wait. But when I got to high school, I saw kids who were like me, who had big hands, big feet. And all of a sudden, man, it just kind of clicked. Like, yeah, there are other people like me.
Uh-huh.
And I remember when getting ready to go to high school, first day, these kids were from my town called Mumford, were laughing, going, man, you had a hard time in Mumford. How big of a difference you're going to have once you get to Hearn? And Hearn was a town of about 5,000 people.
Okay, so it was bigger.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when I got there, we started practicing football, and I met a lot of people. So the first day of school, we get off the bus, and all of a sudden I hear people hollering my name, John, 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 John. I fit right in. Uh-huh. And all my friends now, people I grew up with, were having a difficult time relating to people. And there, I mean, I can, because, man, it was so many things. Like, first day of practice, I remember I went in there, I needed a pair of football cleats. And I walked up to the trainer, and I said, I need a pair of size 13.
And 13?
I was expecting him to say 13.
Right. No.
He just turned around and said, give me some 13. I was like, man. I'm like, you got 13? He got, yeah, we got 13. We got 14.
Dang.
But you don't need no 14, so get out of here. So I got my shoes. Man, it was like, yes, this is where I belong. I found home. But the most difficult part of it for me wasn't the football. I could deal with the practice.
Okay.
I could deal with the running around, get a hitting. But the most difficult part for me was trying to get a ride home.
Oh, wow.
After practice. And sometimes I wouldn't get home till 11 and 12 o'clock at night.
Wow.
And then when I got home, I would sit there, be doing my homework, but thinking about how was I going to get home tomorrow.
Right. Man.
And the next day. And I went through that for 4 years of high school. But it, to me, being around people that I could relate to, people that I could trust and count on, man, I said, it's worth getting home at 11 o'clock, wow. 12 o'clock, because the relationship I built with those guys in high school, man, I still talk to a lot of those guys. We still connect. I mean, some of them are in Memphis, some of them are in Nashville, some of them are in California. One of them, he's in New England.
Okay.
One of them is overseas, but we still have that
connection. Bond. Yeah.
Yes. And I tell people all the time, I said, man, that's what's so crazy about football. It brings people together. And it doesn't matter if you're black, white, you're Hispanic. It brings that connection. And I was just talking to a buddy of mine from Mumford, who was, his son is going to University of Texas. And
how you feel about that? How you feel about that?
Well, I'm by going to SA.
You okay with it?
I'm okay with it.
All right.
I'm okay. Yeah. My thing is, which I love helping people grow, helping people make their way on their journey.
Yes.
And it's because sometimes we get lost. Sometimes we need help. And I love doing that.
And you're an Aggie. That's why I had to ask.
No. I'm not an Aggie. So, my God. My school was called Texas A&I.
It was a black college.
No.
All right. Clear me up on this. Come on. Okay. Come on to me. Clear this one up because I thought you were an Aggie.
No. I grew up there. College Station was like 20 miles away.
Okay.
My school was Texas A&I. And Kingsville.
So it was like kind of like the same thing as the Texas Aggies, but it had an I instead of an M.
No. We were called Javelinas. We were Hogs.
I was trying to make it good for you, John.
No. I'll make it good. Let me bring it around for you.
Bring it to me.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially when your social gathering's picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. We all have had experiences where if you get that help, it helps you get through, whether it's talking to somebody you love or talking talking to someone professional. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with licensed therapists and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GamePresents today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GamePresents.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When I got there, there was two previous gentlemen who had attended this school. And they told me, listen, you're coming to a school that has very high standards.
Okay.
And I'm like, not knowing much about school, I'm going, really? Who came through this school? They said, Gene Upshaw, Daryl Green.
Wow.
So, oh.
That's two names.
Yes. They said, Hall of Fame. I go, oh, man, you got to be doing something to come out of this school.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, exactly. They said, exactly.
They got you.
Yeah. The school was small, but we've had at least, I'd say, about 30, 40 guys who have made it to the National Football League from a Division II school.
Wow.
Division II.
That's awesome. Okay.
And yeah, so that's the school, but it's a great little school. Now, there was a offensive coordinator. He was Peyton Manning's offensive coordinator, Tom Moore.
Okay.
Tom Moore told me, he goes, John, I went down to this Kingsville, Texas. I saw where you went to school at. I said, what do you think of it, Tom? Tom said, if a man had 6 months to live down in Kingsville, those 6 months would be the longest time
His
life.
Oh, no.
He goes, yeah, because it wasn't much down there, man.
Okay.
It was a great school for sports, football.
You could focus.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Let me ask you this, because you are a super highly educated man, and you communicate in such a way very, very few people can match the energy and just the delivery of what you're doing. I see you got your logo in the background with the Legends community. What are you up to these days? And just the idea of learning how to communicate, because a lot of times we don't take that seriously, just being able to communicate the right way and present yourself the right way. We can be scary because of our hands and our feet and our looks. Yep. We can intimidate. We can maybe even make it a little difficult for opportunities just based off of the intimidation factor. For you to be as stone cold as you were on that field, you are one of the most lovable dudes, and it resonates. It's not forced. It's not an act. It's just something that everyone should strive to be. What's your role? I know you're involved in the Legends community. You know, everything that you got going on right now, including the Legends community, anything else, what does John Randall have going on right now with all that you've accomplished? Because I'm sure everybody wants to work with you.
Yeah, everybody always asks me, what am I doing? This and that. And one of the things, my kids are 17 years old. I have twins, a boy and a girl. Mm-hmm. And my son became septic and he almost passed away.
Oh, wow.
And so he's a special needs kid. So we worked with a school here in Minnesota called St. David.
Okay.
So for me, what they did for my son, helping him speak and learning him to grow, I always been indebted to him. So I do a lot for a special needs program. But once I retired and I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, mm-hmm. I wasn't really sure. So guys started coming to me about golf events. And, you know, I was
golfing.
Well, it was just when in Minnesota, when it starts snowing here in November and stuff, I go, I gotta take some time somewhere and go play work on my golf game.
Uh-huh.
So I was going places and was just meeting people in general, but I started meeting other former players.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you're talking to guys, you start talking about football, and I start asking guys, what are they up to? What are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
And then I started hearing guys saying that, some guys were saying, I'm doing fine, or all of a sudden, hearing guys having issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was calling the league, asking the league questions, saying, hey, I got a guy here in, say, Jacksonville. He's not doing well. And is there anything we can do for him? And all of a sudden, the league would either contact me back or the trust would.
Mm-hmm.
So as I started doing this more, finding guys, to me, I always said what helped me elevate my career
mm-hmm.
in the NFL and in college and in high school was my teammates.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to figure out, to me, it was about giving back to my teammates. So the Legend community allowed me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so to this day, man, I'm always reaching out, trying to find those guys that may not want to be talking to somebody in the medical field,
mm-hmm.
who may have mental health problems. A guy may just not feel comfortable talking to people. But for me, that locker room was a place where we trusted each other, where we could talk to each other about almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the Legend community to me is an extension of that locker room. So for me, like I go to New York and I do a charity for Joe Namath for the March of Dimes, where we raise $1 million in one day for the March of Dimes.
Mm.
I do Derrick Brooks golf tournament. I do Jim Kelly's. I do Work Done.
Mm-hmm.
I do one out in California for the Navy SEALs Museum, which is, I do it with multiple other Hall of Fame guys, but other guys were just in California.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, as you start talking to guys, somebody tells you about a legend, or people call them former players, I like to call them legends, mm-hmm. that may not be doing well. So going to these events, talking with guys, it allows me to talk to them and all of a sudden find out about somebody. And then I would actually drive over or call this guy and speak to him to see what I could do for him.
Mm.
Like here in Minnesota, since where I live, I have so many guys. I have one guy who was going through a kidney transplant. The next day after his surgery, I was there in the morning in his room, sitting there talking to him. And when he opened his eyes and looked up at me, he was like, man, I'm so glad to see
someone
here and to see that you care about me. Because when we leave that locker room, we all kind of feel as if we're in a new element and our journey, it seems uncertain. We're not really sure where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
And to have a familiar face on that journey, man, that's huge.
Big time.
It's just huge. It just gives a guy a sigh of relief, man. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That if he's got something going on, like he may need some personal issue. He may just need just an assistance with something, that a program that's available through the either the NFL, the trust, or the player care that I can help him out with, and hey, give back. And that's why I always, my mom always told me that. She goes, you got to take care of your friends and take care of people that you care about. Mm-hmm. So for me, being part of the Levy community, it has allowed that. And I do it pretty much every day. I'm doing something to give back.
Love that.
From calling a guy on his birthday to if a guy, like today, a guy called me and he was talking about he wanted some Jordans. I go, you size 15? Yeah. I said, man, I'm going to give you my Jordan.
All right.
I got Jordan for you. So that's what I do. And I'm so thrilled to be a part of it. And that there's a program that allows me to do this because for me, I care about guys. And it's not about guys I play with. It's guys I played against.
Right.
Man, I look out to Herman Moore, Lomas Brown,
yeah,
Emmitt Smith. I talk to all the guys. I just, hey, I sit down and talk to them. And I'm like, listen, man, is there anybody that you heard that may be in need of some service that we could try to look out for? Oh, yeah, I got a guy. And because for us, that word of mouth is huge.
Right.
It's huge.
Right.
Because we know guys don't, we're so strong. We don't want to, oh, man, I don't want to tell anybody that I'm not doing well. And that's what I do, man.
Man. All right. So, and that's a whole lot. I mean,
I know
that is a whole lot. I mean, you said
I'm
like,
sorry.
That's
I know
like,
you asked me.
No,
I'm sorry, I had to throw it out.
No. I'm not saying it's a long answer. I'm saying what you do is a whole lot. Like you said, it like, hey, this is something that I get up. I do. That's a lot. Being there for one another and being a resource to one another. That's a lot. That's a lot. Yeah. And it takes a beautiful spirit, just people who care to be able to do those things. Let me ask you this. Do you think some of the things that you're dealing with are based upon maybe not understanding what their worth is long before, like during high school, during middle school, during college, to learn what your value is and what your worth is? Because by the time you get out of the game, you feel like your worth was making plays, showing up to the facility, you know, putting on the helmet, your number, your name on the back of your jersey. How much do you think that plays a part in some of these guys needing that type of assistance after they're done playing?
Well, for me, I didn't realize it, but I was already getting ready to retire early in my career, because coming into it as a guy who grew up chopping cotton for $2 an hour, I was saying to myself that, hey, I'm when I'm done with this game, I don't want to be working. So I was always putting my money on the side and working to find other relationships with companies. So I was already working on that. But what I didn't realize was it was teaching me to be personable, to never think I'm way up top. So that I can talk to people, build relationships. And it helped me so much that to be able to just go up to a person, have a conversation, and just have a conversation, just find a way to just start up a conversation. Because a lot of times, I mean, I'm around a lot of athletes, from basketball, baseball, because when you're doing all these events, you see the guys who say they're celebrities, and you kind of see how they're standoffish. But I just found it just personal, myself, to be so personable to speak to people. And just because, just as you think you're being standoffish, that person over there is looking at you, and they're like in awe, and they're afraid to come talk to you. So I just found that how I want it to be. And it just taught me just to lower my guard and just speak to people, because you just never know where the conversation may go. And a lot of it was built upon my mom, the way she brought me up about speaking to people. And a lot of time us athletes, even current and former players, we kind of just lose that, because, and then when we get done playing, we've been basically going that same way day after day, year after year.
And then nothing.
And all of a sudden,
nothing.
And all of a sudden you come out of it you come out of it. And I tell people sometimes, it's like being on a freeway that you're just driving, and all of a sudden now you have to take your career ends. It's here's a good of that. I always say, like, you've been on a bus partying and hanging out, enjoying it, and all of a sudden they drop you off, and you're like, where do I go from here? And if you don't have assets in your pocket or a map that's kind of saying, okay, here's your next step.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times guys are lost. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I try to do with some of the teams I work with is start telling guys, before you're done, let's try to figure out what's your next step. Because you get done, there's not going to be any more pats on the back, people cheering
thousands
for
and
you.
Thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we love you. That's it.
It's gone.
When it's gone. And you're almost like being in the dark. You're trying to feel, and you see guys going, I got money, but I don't know what to do with it.
Right.
Oh, I got, here's an investment. This sounds good to get into. And I'm like, that's not a good idea.
Not a good one. Right.
And I'm telling you what, man, it's sometimes it's just, it's how God puts. I have guys here in Minnesota, Randall McDaniel. He gets done playing, and Randall doesn't buy anything. Randall McDaniel, he goes back to being a substitute school teacher.
Okay.
So I'm talking to him, and I go to him, and I said, so tell me some of the things you're doing. And he's just, okay, here's what I do. I go teach. Then after teaching, I go hit golf balls. He said, I go home. And those guys are the one I look for to talk to other guys.
Yeah.
Telling them, all right, here's a guy you want to talk to.
Keep it simple.
Yes.
Keep it simple.
You don't need all this stuff. Yeah.
Right.
And don't be thinking you want to still try to go out there and spend, like, dude, let's put yourself on a budget.
Yes.
And let's try to find something that interests you. Is it coaching? Is it talking to people? Is it from one of my guys, he went from playing 3 years in the league to coaching at a high school. From coaching at a high school, he's now coaching at a college because he wants to get back in the pros. But I just work with my guys from having a cup of coffee,
mm-hmm.
but I always tell them, man, it starts slow. And I don't want to hear about these investments. A get-rich scheme. I'm like, if it's such a good scheme, why is he looking for your money?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Yes. All right. Now, the name, image, likeness, the NIL with the college deal, I feel like it's relatable to what you just said, because if guys are able to maybe get the education of what their name, image, and likeness represents at an earlier stage in their career, then they ultimately can possibly have some of those pitfalls early on and still be able to recover. And because they have so much more of their career left, you know, what's your stance on the naming, image, likeness in college sports? And it's even touching high school sports now, where guys can monetize their brands as they move forward. To me, I say it's a great thing, because a guy doesn't necessarily have to play pro ball to be able to monetize their accomplishments at this point. But I know sometimes it can muddy the waters. It can become more of a priority than everything else if not looked at or done correctly. Where do you stand on that? And how does it relate maybe to some of the things you just said in terms of investments and where your money goes and what you want to do with your brand?
I think, first of all, I think it's good that the college guys being able to do this, because we know of so many guys who have been successful, have successful careers in college, then get to the pros and it falters. It's 1 or 2 years and they're done.
Yeah.
And, or if a guy gets hurt his first year in the pros. And so, but I'm all for that. I've got a nephew who's actually in college now. He's not a starter, but that's what he's dealing with. He's talking about, you know, we've sent her talking about it, mm-hmm. and finding different ways for him to advance himself. And one of the things I told him, I said, if you're not a starter, I go, here's something else you can do. I'm like, you can get on Instagram or Twitter and you could do little post interviews with the guys on your team, because he's at a big major school. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, you could do interviews with the guys who made major plays in the games, because he kind of wants to get into radio and television. Mm-hmm. And I go, that right there can kind of launch your career. You're working at it now while you're in college and working on it with your degree, and you can kind of figure what you want to do. But yeah, I'm all for that. And I wish a lot more guys would think about the financial side of it, but the budgeting side of it, mm-hmm. because that's one of the things from guys I deal with. There's guys who have a problem with being done playing and they have the assets, but then there's these other ones who are trying to do deals, and they're doing deals that are not good deals. Mm-hmm. And I've seen these guys at the card shows. I've seen these guys, just the different endeavors I've seen out there over the years. And I mean, I retired in 2003, and there's so many different things, avenues guys are trying to get into. Mm-hmm. But I always tell them, I'm like, go back where your bread is buttered. And if you're thinking about, you want to make yourself known more, then go back to where you played at.
Yeah.
Go back to where you played at. Because I was telling a guy, matter of fact, he played at a well-known team on the East Coast, and he now lives on the West Coast. And one of the problems he was telling me yesterday, he said, I can't make any money out here. I'm going, dude, you're on the West Coast. You played on the East Coast. No one knows who you are. Go back. And so it's kind of, you really have to get down to knowing the guy,
yeah.
really knowing the situation. But I'm happy that these college guys are being able to do this. I know back at Texas A&M, where I grew up, or down in College Station, that head coach is making crazy amounts of money. Mm-hmm. And we all know in college football, no one really remembers the players. They just remember the coaches.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm like, but who is the one who made this coach successful?
Right.
The player.
And right.
Yeah, you know, you think about it in these college, I mean, down in, because I know more about Texas, but yeah, I know like RG3 and Johnny Manziel.
Could you imagine how much they could have generated?
Exactly. I mean, you think about it. Each time those guys won the Heisman Trophy, they put a statue outside of their stadium.
Right.
And I'm like, Okay. That statue is great. But for a lot of these guys, they need to assess.
Yes.
And it just goes a long way. And, you know, a young guy, when I'm talking to him, say he's in his 20s or he's in his 30s or even his 40s, one of the things I'm always telling those guys to be more focused on is like health insurance, man. Mm-hmm. You need health insurance because the money only gonna last so long, but
your body gonna need that maintenance.
Yes.
Oof.
And I go, going in, I said, just like your car, man, you think about it, you start getting those miles on it, mm-hmm. and stuff starts adding up. And man, from getting in the hall, I remember a few players I met when I got in there. One guy, he came in, not Bobby Bell, oh my God, Bobby Mitchell,
mm-hmm.
for instance.
Shouts out to Bobby Mitchell.
Yes, yes,
the OG.
Sir.
Dude, I
remember going to his golf tournament, sitting there having a conversation with him, and then all of a sudden watching his health deteriorate.
Yeah.
And it brought tears to my eyes, man. And I'm sitting there going, wondering, like, does he have the proper health care?
Yeah.
You know,
so right.
That's how I think. And, you know, I've had the fortunate pleasure of meeting a lot of guys who've gotten in the hall, and they're older guys, and I've seen them over the years from getting dementia. And since we have all these programs, that's the first thing I'll be trying to tell guys. I'm like, let me tell you about our program we have that are all available. Because
mm-hmm.
A lot of guys, when they're done playing, they just kind of turn their back on NFL and the trust and all that. And I'm always trying to get these guys to, like, turn back around. There's so many things out there that can help you from getting a hip replaced, getting your knee replaced, and just so many programs that are out there available. Our new pension program. And so it's just sad sometimes to see what happens to a lot of guys when they get up in age and they don't have the assets or the health care that they need.
Oh, man, you hitting on a lot of great points. Let me hit you with this one. And looking at what you've done and what you're continuing to accomplish by being a person of service, is there a defining moment for you in terms of your success and what you wanted to accomplish as a player, your success and what you're accomplishing in being a person of service? Did they combine? Do you have a moment? Like, we all have vivid memories of things that kind of take us to a place where it's like, I either can do it, I have to do it, I need to do it, and maybe it's all of the above. Do you have a moment that just jumps out at you where it could be an inspiration to somebody? Because my ultimate goal is to get responses that are so unique to where you are from and what you have going on in you and what you've had going on in your life, that somebody that comes from where you come from is going to hear this and they're going to be like, I knew I could make it. Like, this sounds just like what I went through. This sounds like the moment I had. Do you have one?
Oh, God. Mine still is going on.
All right.
Because for me, I was coming into the league. My brother was down at Tampa Bay playing Mike linebacker. So I go down there, and they're telling me, hey, you should be here with your brother. Put you as a Mike linebacker or outside linebacker. And I paused for a moment. I said, oh, no. I'm not a linebacker.
Uh-huh.
I'm a defensive lineman. Right then and there, I'm like going against everything that they told me. They all going, you could be here. I go, no, this isn't a place for me. What are you talking about? It's not the place for me. So I leave Tampa. And they're like, we're going to sign you. You're a free agent. Nobody really wants you. I go, there's another team I think I may have a chance with. How do you know? I go, well, I got this football magazine, and I've been looking at it, and they're defensive linemen all about
my size.
6'1", 6'2". Yeah.
Right.
And the biggest dude about 275. I think I can do it. Where is this? in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Wait a minute, you gonna leave Tampa with all these palm trees? You gonna go up to the north where it's freezing? I think that's where I belong. What? Man, you may get there, you may not last maybe a year or two, but that's gonna be it. I go, something. The Lord above is telling me that's where I'm supposed to be.
Wow.
I made that decision in 1990. And it's 2021.
Wow.
And I'm like, look at me now from a decision I made. So I always say there's an alarm clock somewhere.
Bet on yourself.
That it made me wake up because I'm living a dream. I mean, I came into it as a free agent. Guy was like third or fourth on 14. The guy had a guy named Marion Hobbs, who's now a coach in the league, was in front of me, had all these other dudes, Al Noga, Hendricks Thomas, Kenny Clark, Thomas Struthers. And they were like, looking at me, nah, you're not going to make it. You're undersized.
You're undersized.
Yes. And I'm like, and it was like, when I got here, I mean.
It's like early on, you oversized.
Yes.
Now all of a sudden, you undersized.
Size. You go, hey, you got to be 6'5". What? Why I got to be 6'5"? Because, hey, you got to be same size with these guys. And now you hear I'm watching TV, and they're like, yeah, Aaron Donald, that's the way you do it.
Wow. I'm like, and that's you. That was you.
Me? I mean, that was myself. That was Russell Merrill.
Yeah.
There was Michael Dean Perry.
Yeah.
There was –
But they wasn't like you, though. I mean, Michael Dean was nice. I get it. Russell Merrill, he was a different type of animal, too. But yes, you was the closest. Like, Aaron Donald, that's your body type. That's your movement. That's high energy, high hands.
Yes.
The hands. The
hands. I know that.
Come on,
the,
man.
But when I got here, they were saying, no. You're going to get – they're going to run at you. I'm going, dude, we're already working on jabot swimming over the guy, right, using our hands. Like, you may laugh.
Y'all used to use punching gloves in practice.
Oh, dude, we had the hands extended.
Right.
That you learned to, you had to put one hand in your pocket, man, and work on one hand.
Huh.
But to me, I can't just say one moment because I could pick out when I first started, or I could say when I went to Seattle, or I could say when I got my 100th sack on Troy Aikman over Larry Allen, who was bench pressing 692 pounds.
The world.
And I was like, and I was like looking at Larry like, yes, I can get you. I mean, I'm looking up and I can get you. I can take your soul, brother.
Yes.
Yeah. But for me, man, this is all.
It's man, all a just, moment.
Yes, because, man, I grew up chopping cod, man, $2 an hour, walking down the field with a hoe like this. And I'm like, look where God had helped me get to and where I'm at. And I'm like, and yeah.
So
and
there can be no excuse. There can be no excuses to what your, if you set your mind to what your trajectory is supposed to be, there can be no excuse.
No. And also this biggest thing, don't let anybody tell you, you can't do.
That's right.
What you want to do.
That's right.
Because they're gonna be doubters. It's gonna be people gonna be telling you that you can't do. Oh, you from here? You're too small. You're too little, dude. You can put your mind to it. You can achieve it. You can achieve it.
Man, all right, I got.
Hey, it's like my golf game.
Right.
I was shooting 100 and something. Now I shoot. I ain't gonna say really. I shoot about 74, 75. You put your mind to it, baby.
I know that's right. All right, I got two more for you, and then I'm going to let you get up out of here.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets
bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
One, we talked about the NIL and different things like that. Branding. I don't know if you were aware that you were branding yourself. I don't know that your style, how you did things, how you handled things was pre-brand, you know, era where it's like everything you do is based around how you do it, why you do it, and how is that monetizable. That was you back in the day. Like, we came on to the interview joking around, thunder. Like, that was you. Your energy, your personality, like how you were, even like with the Madden games and stuff like that, like all the things that you did were so unique to who you are. Were you aware of that and just knew that this is my brand? Was it something that you were unaware of and it just kind of materialized? Branding, what, like, how was that? How did that work for you?
Oh my God. I was just doing what was just natural. We, even down to the face paint that I see everybody wearing, we were the first one doing that. I didn't even think about it. I was just sitting there going, you know, in my locker one day, and we had watched the movie Young Guns.
Yeah, of course.
With Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yeah, right. And Emilio, like, Estevez.
Yes, man.
Yeah.
And when he was going over that hill, essay. And he was like, what did that mean? It meant stop. But the horse kept going. So we all sitting there. I'm like, man. I was sitting there one day going, dude, you know what? Man, we got to get to that next level. And I'm like, when you're playing football, you got to, first of all, it's not a job. You got to look at it as a hobby, the hobby you love to do. Mm-hmm. And for me, pass rushing was that. So I was a dude, like, my coach, John Turley, was like, he was really just like, you'd be walking down the hallway, he'd put his hand in your chest.
You got to get it off.
Knock it off.
Right.
Get it off.
Yeah.
He goes, to be great pass rushers, we got to think like gazelles. I'm like, what you mean like gazelle? He goes, you don't see a gazelle take the poop? He goes, he takes a poop as he's running. He was like, you always got to be on the go.
Right.
So,
quick.
Yeah,
quick, like, on the go.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So we watched, instead of just watching game tape.
We watched animal films.
Yes.
I'm mad at it.
The cheetah, the alligator, pulling people down. And he goes, you got to have a hair trigger. You got to be geeked. He's like, you just got to be high, strong, man. We sit there and just like cowboys, because he said this to us one day. He said, you got to be like a cowboy. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, you got to go from town to town because you're going to build a reputation. And when you come to that next town, another city to play.
There goes Bronco Billy right there.
Yeah.
There go John Randall. There go wild John Randall.
Right. John Randall.
Right.
You got to be like wired up for Doc Holliday.
Right. Ooh, I'll be your Huckleberry.
Ooh.
Yeah,
say
buddy.
When.
Yeah.
Say when.
Yeah.
So that's what we started doing. But we never really saw it like we were branding, but we would have people come in. And you know, sometimes you just like, okay, I don't feel comfortable in front of these people. I don't know who they are.
Right.
And I used to tell a dude, do not show them who you are. Do not hide it. Let it out, man. So we were just like, yeah. And we had a nickname for ourselves, me and this guy named Roy Barker. So we call ourselves Misfits. And so Roy's from New York. I'm like, someone said no to my lock. He goes, man, we Misfits. I go, Misfits? How we Misfit? Man, we're people that nobody really wants. Look at you, Johnny. You too small.
Look at you.
Short. I'm look at me. He goes, I'm from New York. I tell people how it is. Look at Suge. Suge's from Flint. So we just going to be us, man. We don't care. We just going to be us. I'm like, okay, let's do that. And so
Misfit.
We didn't realize. Yes, Misfit.
Yeah, I was branding.
Branding, dude. And we would come out there before the game. Instead of people just, you know, get up in your stance and you're just working on moves. We were hitting the goalpost, working on moves. And it was just something unique. The face paint,
you know,
we were doing all that.
It's not too late for y'all to continue to maximize y'all's brand. It's never too late because a brand never dies unless you allow it to. A brand never dies. That thing right there, that's an amazing story. And that's something I never heard of, the whole Misfits thing. I didn't know about it.
Oh, yeah. Roy Bark, we just had to, and here in Minnesota, we just had a Legends weekend about 2 weeks ago. So Roy was on the other side of the room, and I just screamed out, Misfits! We all just
y'all
came
know,
together.
Right? Yeah, y'all, right? Y'all know.
So that's what I mean. That goes back to what I said. Man, in football, which I think is in sports, it allows us to come together, and it doesn't matter about color, it's about just coming together as teammates or against the old teammates, against opponents and stuff, man, you have that connection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things for us in the legend community at the Super Bowl, at the combine, where we have a room where guys can come back for that same element, where you get guys together, man, you hear stories. And for instance, I heard one of the coolest stories was when it was before we started the legend community, but we had it in Canton, Ohio. It was the first time I had saw experienced the same thing we have in the legend community. It was John Madden and Franco Harris were sitting together. Man, they started talking about that immaculate reception. Mm. Bruh, they went at it. Pointing, talking. Oh, no. So
that's beautiful.
And that's what the locker room or the legend community allows us to have,
right,
man. And it's just beautiful.
Let me end with this. For everything that John Randall has accomplished, for everything that he's doing, for everything that he will do, do you think about what's your legacy? And if you do, tell us, what is John Randall's legacy?
This is kind of strange, but the way I look at it, I tell people this. I go, because I keep going and going, but I always say, who's going to be at your funeral?
Mm.
Who's going to be there? Who's going to show up? And that's the way I look at it, because I just lost my father-in-law about 3 weeks ago, and we just had a
memorial.
Sorry
to hear that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But we just had his memorial. And, man, we're sitting there, and you start talking to people who are there, and you see people from, you know, different parts of Minnesota. And I was sitting there thinking, like, man, who's going to be at my funeral? You know, and the stories that they're going to tell about you. Because we heard stories about my father-in-law that,
it's going to be great stories. I'll tell you that.
Yes. You know that. Yours too.
I mean,
yours
I got my story about you. Listen, when we came to Seattle
And I was under Bruce's wing, and Bruce like, all right, okay, LA, we're gonna go out, we're gonna go eat.
Hey,
LA, I'm gonna meet you in the lobby in about 10 minutes. We're gonna go eat, okay? And then we came and met you at that restaurant. That was the first time I had met you. We was playing. See, I don't even know if you remember, but I was just like John Randall and Bruce Smith, and I'm sitting here and I get to eat dinner with John Randall and Bruce Smith. And let me tell you something. People may like, well, how do you know this or how you know that? I sat there and listened to y'all talk and listened to y'all joke around. And at the time, it was foreign to me to actually think we're going to jump up out of here and go eat with the people we're about to play against. Like, it was foreign to me. And just understanding that in that moment, I learned that the camaraderie of the brotherhood was actually larger than the idea of playing against the team that you were going to play against, right?
Yes. So, yes.
I mean, my memory connected to you. What my conversation would be is just understanding that this thing is bigger than you, and you got to come in and you got to do, like, just the way y'all were talking about the techniques and what y'all were thinking about and different things. And then y'all would transition into life and what that represented. And all I could sit there and think of was, man, I'm so far away from this. I was so far away. You got to think, in 2000, my rookie season, which I believe that's what the year that it was that we came to Seattle and mm-hmm. you were there. I was still so wet behind the ears as a rookie. That's my rookie season. So I'm sitting there, I'm just trying to figure it out. You know, so to sit there and listen to two guys that you knew were going to be in the hall and you knew that they were different, you knew that their road led to greatness, just being able to sit there and learn from that. I ultimately, like, a lot of the things that you did, I did. Like, that high energy stuff, I did it. That was, I would not allow myself, because of guys like you and Ray Lou, I would not allow myself to not be on 10 when I was playing.
Yes, sir.
I was just what it was going to be. Like, I'm going to play hard. I'm going to try to wear your ass out.
Yes, sir. And I remember that, dude. I remember that.
That's awesome.
Let me tell you. I talk to Bruce and Thurman Thomas like every week.
That's awesome.
And Bruce and Thurman play golf together. I mean, it's this constant conversation.
Yeah.
And the stuff you're talking about, I was going to Dallas for a Emmitt Smith golf tournament. And I would get down there and I was talking to this guy. One day, I talked to him again and again and again, talking about pass rush. And I would tell him, I said, when you get tired, because we were talking about when you get tired. And I said, when you get tired, what do? I go, you look down, don't you? He goes, yes. I go, right on your shoes, put finish.
Nice.
Put finish on your shoes. I go, people going to look at it and go, like, finish. They're not going to understand it. Uh-huh. And I go, when you're trying to be a pass rusher or rushing a quarterback, you're going to do things that just don't make sense.
I know.
People
right.
don't understand it.
Right.
I said, you play 60 to 70 plays and you're only trying to get there one time.
Right.
And you hope you can get there two or three. I go, that's how you got to think. But I had that same, when I'm talking, but the person I'm talking about was DeMarcus Ware.
Wow.
And I just sit there and just talking to him. I'm like, hey, you're going to be out there. You're going to feel like you're not sure. I go, believe in it.
Wow.
You got to believe in it. So, that's exactly it, man. It's just, like you said, the game is so much more.
Yeah. And just that pride, yes. Man. Because even here's another one. When we were in Mexico City and we were golfing.
Yeah.
And you had your select sticks with you. And gracious enough to give me a cigar. You know what I mean? And you don't even know how that made me feel, by the way. You know, I felt very, very, like, truly important that John Randall shared one of his cigars with me in that moment. Like, I'm humbled by guys like you because I'm a fan first. And I ultimately say a legacy that is worth having is having people be a fan of you more than anything else. Like, the memories of how kind you are as a person, how you treated people around you. Did you open the door for a person, whether it was a male or a female? It doesn't matter, right? How you greet a person. People don't say yes, sir, no, ma'am, no, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir anymore. People don't exercise fundamental values and respect anymore. And I just look at guys like you and like Bruce and those guys that I had the opportunity to be around and mold who I am. It's imperative to me for my legacy to represent those lessons every day.
Yes, sir, dude.
It has to represent that every day, you know, and that's the whole point of this. Right.
Yes, sir.
As I want people to hear, I want this to go out and everybody hear, like, this is John Randall. Like,
yeah,
these new school cats might be like, who is this dude?
Yeah. Who's this guy? Oh, my God. I got to tell you this one story. When Jerry Jones got in Canton Hall of Fame, I went by his party. I was going to go see my man, Leon Lett, because I always got to go talk to my boy, Lett. So I see Leon, we having a conversation, blah, blah, blah. I look over, man, there's about six guys bowing down, going like this. I'm like, what the hell wrong with them? They go, Leon looks at me and goes, man, they've been watching your film, Johnny. They know who you are. I'm like, man.
That's clean. Now that's when it matters.
Yeah, I get it now, but man, all I tried to do was go out there and give 110% training camp. It didn't matter, practice, because like I told those guys, man, I could be chopping cotton,
indeed,
but I'm doing this.
I know that's right.
I'm gonna give you all I got because man, I'm the movie Color Purple. I'm here.
I may be black.
I may be ugly,
but I'm here. Hey, man, that is John Randall. Y'all have just been blessed by one of the goats of goats. This is Up On Game Presents Conversations with a Legend. This has got to be one of the most amazing moments for me in my professional career in interviewing and broadcasting and media. I can't thank you enough for giving me the time that you gave me today. And I'm hoping that these stories continue to be a motivation for us to aspire and to inspire to be more and to do more without the excuses. Let's get it done. Look at your toes. Look at your feet. 10 toes down. Finish.
Finish.
Finish. Love it, man. I appreciate you.
My pleasure.
I appreciate you. And yeah, we're going to talk about your branding too, by the way. We're going to circle up. We're going to circle up on this.
Okay? All right. Let me know.
All right. Hey, y'all been blessed. Till next time, Up On Game presents Conversations with a Legend, baby.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.